Yesterday I mentioned a little bit Chosan. I would like to explain a little more about the statement. Mind and as phenomena, Sara is grounded on the Chittagatagarbha. Most people have big doubt how the truth creates, how the truth relates with inside the world. Very difficult to figure out relationship, how truth comes into the inside world. What is the subject which samsara is produced? How samsara world is produced? It's very difficult to understand. But we want to know. We want to know. For many years, I really want to fill up that gap between the truth and samsara world. Because that is the most interesting point for me. But practically speaking, I don't think, even though you understand intellectually, it doesn't work actually. But practically speaking, all you have to do is to take care of everyday life with wholeheartedness, that's all we have to do. So practice is simple. Still, intellectual sense doesn't satisfy. So action practice becomes a little bit shaky. We don't understand why we have to practice this simple way. Why we have to do gassho, why we have to do the everyday life, daily routine. Why is it that daily routine, we have to take care of daily routine because it is important? We don't understand this one. But no matter how long we try to explain this one, it's very difficult. For me to explain, because most people don't feel. The truth is, and they don't experience strongly from a daily routine how important it is. So it's pretty hard. So very naturally, teachers and ancestors very naturally force you to do, anyway, even though you don't understand it. Please follow the ancestors' tradition. For instance, if you want to be Baba Shah, you have to follow the teacher's way because you have never experienced. So you should just follow the teacher's way. Then you become Baba. But if we do in that way, it is fine in a sense, but it is not fine in a sense, because your past doesn't satisfy your life. So lots of questions come up. So that's why very naturally this kind of work is established. So today is our today I would like to say about this. Yesterday I mentioned truth of the Tathagatagarbha is not the same as the truth itself. Truth is exactly truth. So in the, I think we have learned before, look at the page 32, the mind in terms of the absolute. First of all, look at the page 28. Oh, excuse me, not 28. I'm sorry. Not 28. Oh, yes, 30, page 32. That's correct. This section explains the absolute. So first of all, first point, you should understand the truth like this. First line, the mind in terms of the absolute is the one world of reality and the essence of all phases of existence in their totality. What does it mean? This means is look at the page 33 and first the fourth paragraph from the bottom of fourth line. From the bottom of the awful first paragraph. Okay? It says, nor is there anything which needs to be pointed out as real. For all things are equally in the state of suchness. It should be understood that all things are incapable of being verbally explained or thought of, hence the name suchness. So, the first point is that truth is the one world of reality, exactly one world of reality, and the essence of all phenomenal phases of existence in their totality. That means all the no need to point out where is the truth, or no need to explain what the truth is, because it's always there. So no need to be pointed out as real or not necessary, because it's there always. That means absolute is omnipresent as one. One world. That is a, and that means you can see this one world, but it's very difficult to see this one world so called truth. If so, how can we see the one world as a truth? That is the truth manifested in everything. So means the truth indwelling in all sentient beings. That's why here says all things. It's not necessary to to be pointed out as real because all things are equally in the state of such. Because truth, one word as a truth is omnipresent. Omnipresent means you can see the truth in everything. You are counted, encountered with tables, books, whatever it is. That is the meaning of omnipresence. Okay? Omnipresence. So you should remember this one, okay? That is the first point. The second point is the truth is, look at the page 32, the third line from the bottom, that what that which is called essence of nature, essential nature of the mind, is unborn and is imperishable. And then later, that this characteristic of the absolute will be explained in many ways from a different angle. It's not the one, it's not the difference, it's not long, it's not wide. Anyway, they explain here in the page 33. Anyway, so the characteristic of the truth is something unborn. After the word was born and then the truth comes, or somebody was born in this world and then he brings that truth into human world. I don't think this one. This is the truth. Even though nothing in this world, truth is truth. All. Okay? So it's not something coming from one place to another few minutes ago or few minutes later. No. It's not, that is called not unborn, not born. Okay? So completely beyond born or unborn. It's always there. Because that is a one, it's not necessary to be pointed out as a rule. Okay? And imperishable means completely regardless of whether you believe in or not, or you try to take it out, take it away, or you try to hold on, nothing to it. You believe or not, anyway, it's there, constant. Or it is not something you can throw it away, or it is not something you can participate in from now. Or it is not something from what you can escape, or you can get into now. So this is the truth. This is called unborn and imperishable. This is a characteristic of the truth. So that's why it's pretty hard to know. But this is called one mind. Sometimes because it's very simple. Because all sentient beings exist just like this. On the basis of this absolute truth. So that's why one mind, we say one mind. One mind means completely beyond your speculation before you think it. Anyway, there is one word. One word. So that is the truth. Okay? But it's very difficult, that's why if it's very difficult to know that one word, is there no place, no way to know? Yes, we are. Yes, there is. That is the truth manifested in everyday life, human being, birth, nature, and having a meal, getting up in the morning, daily routine, whatever you do, always telling the truth. that's why you mention like this. You should remember this. So from this point, this, do you believe that this kind of a truth can create a lot of war? In other words, by the activity of this truth, absolute truth, do you believe samsaric world is produced or created? No. Because absolute truth has nothing to do, doesn't do anything, just be there. Because unborn, imperishable, nothing. That's why I forgot the name of from Western philosopher's name, Kierkegaard, I forgot. He says, no God. No God means, it doesn't mean destroy or ignore the God. He knows who God is. That's nothing. Buddha doesn't do anything, but if Buddha is constantly there. So that's why if we say God, no God, we really meant as this kind of this philosophy, but I don't think it's negative. And absolute is nothing to do for you, it doesn't mean ignoring your existence. That means complete beyond your speculation, the absolute is always with you. Before you think absolute create samsara, that is already speculation. Or absolute with me now, that is also speculation. Before you say in words like this, absolute with me now, it is all in words. It absolute is already with you anyway, constantly. So that's when I'm born in pressure. So from this point, it's impossible for us to understand even philosophically that absolute creates samsara. No. Absolute is very quiet, dynamical, omnipresent, but doesn't do anything, just be there. Maintaining its own life. Okay? Just maintaining. That is a truth. If so, you cannot say truth creates samsara. Okay? But some Buddhist scholars understood by the activity of the absolute truth, samsaric world is created through this. But that is a little bit misunderstanding. So, if so, that's why this course anyway find out another category for called Tathagatagarbha. Okay? Tathagatagarbha. The Tathagatagarbha is very interesting teaching generally. In terms of general Buddhism, this idea is very important. If you understand Tathagatagarbha, idea of Tathagatagarbha, I think you can take a little bit the meaning of Shobo Genzo, meaning of time being mentioned by Dogen himself. You can take a little bit. Okay? So, Tathagata Gaba, that's why this is called, bring up another term, so called Tathagata Gaba. So, Tathagata Gaba is the truth dwelling in us and all beings. Not abstracted, not abstracted idea of the principle or absolute, no. So Tathagata Gaba is real, the ground of the very important ground of life. So not abstract idea. But in Buddhism, you should remember this one. Buddhism doesn't investigate process of how truth comes to join the samsara, or the samsara joins to the truth. Not process of. That is a philosophy we say, intellectually we say. If you move from A to B, you say, where is the A? Where is the B? Now, what is the A? What is the B? Then how can you move to B instead? This is our understanding, intellectual faculty. But the Buddhism doesn't explain anything in that way. Buddhism accepts the accept real reality as it is, right now, right here. In other words, we have to see the interacting relations among the many conditions, in terms of the reality as it is, which is constantly arising. Not the process of how to arise, how to move. So Buddhism, anyway, jump into the reality as it is, and then run. How it is structured. That's why daily routine is very important. In terms of sense of human body, daily routine is a small detail for us. But a daily routine is not the different form. Professional job you have, puppy city is not different from a Himalaya mountain. So, I think that you have to understand the puppy city as it is. Purposes in reality as it is, instead of the certain investigate process of how to create this purpose. Why? The reason why it is so small in comparison with Himalaya mountain itself. This is our intellectual system. But that is a philosophy you can build up big mountains, because philosophy, psychology, etc. But Buddhism always participates directly first, reality as it is. And then research, and investigate, understand the structure of that reality. Among the relation, among the many conditions, because there are many conditions there. Cause, secondary cause, first cause, many, many conditions. So that is Buddhistic attitude always. Okay? So from this attitude, this term comes up, so-called Tathagata Gaba. Because if you look at yourself, you cannot analyze your reality from where it comes, what kind of characteristics you have, you cannot judge yourself on the basis of one-sided idea to call good boy or bad boy. You cannot do it. But if you look at yourself in reality as it is, I think you have always two things. Sympathetic war, and also something more than sympathetic war. So sympathetic war is suffering, but more than suffering, there is something important thing. More than sympathetic words, you are really hate. Because no matter how long you hate or you try to escape, because still your existence goes on and on, wherever you may go. So what do you mean? In terms of sympathetic words, you are judged as a bad boy. If so, that's it. That is your life. No. Even though, in terms of sympathetic word, someone judged your life as a bad, but still, you can survive, you can go any place. Life, your life goes on and on. If so, there is something in your life more than a sense of judgment, evaluation, more than the sympathetic world. That is called, anyway, truth. It's that truth which is found in life. But this truth is found in your life is not absolute truth. This is your truth. This is the truth you can find in your life. The problem is that people believe that truth dwelling in individual life is real truth. As a one word. That's why we fight, you know. You find the truth in your life is that limited understanding of truth through your life. So you should still take the lots of time to refine this understanding of the truth found in your life. Philosophically, psychologically, religiously, whatever it is, okay, you have to find some parts to refine until it becomes one word. Until you become living in peace, in harmony with all sentient beings. Anyway, you should continually refine the understanding of the truth, understanding of the universe. But usually people always believe that understanding of the universe or the truth which seems to be the truth. But it's not. If you do it, it becomes cause of power. That's the emotional war, always fighting. And also you can find the truth in others' lives too. You can find the truth in the tables, you can find the truth in nature. So that truth is called Tathagata, because that truth is found in everything, and simultaneously it is limited by individual life. That's why the truth are veiled in delusion, we say. that is called Tathagata Gava. That Tathagata Gava is your reality, your life in reality as it is. If you look at the directory, your life. Okay. And that's why okay, so far we have questions about the Tathagata Gava. You know the difference between as to itself and Tathagata Gava, okay? You know the difference between do you have a question?
How it sounds to me, not the fact of the Garbha, but the truth and phenomenal world, it sounds to be that absolute is not samsara, is not the.
Yeah, the it's not dualistic, so I have to explain the next, the so-called harmony. Harmony and the peace. In this book it says, page 36, it says the to diffuse it harmoniously with birth and death. So no birth and no death. Diffuse this harmoniously with birth and death. Okay? So I asked you the other day the meaning of diffusing harmoniously with. So that originally, original text, it used the word peace or harmony. But this translation says like this. So I have to explain that piece in music. Okay? Harmony. Is there any questions?
I still don't understand how the samsara world comes from the absolute truth that doesn't do anything but maintain itself.
Maintain itself and also omnipresent. Omnipresent is everywhere. Okay? That is maintaining it constantly. Okay?
Can you say the samsara world does not?
No, that's not. That's why if we want to know what is the subject where samsara is produced, that is, what is the subject? That subject is the cause of samsara. That comes from. But if you say so, it comes from, yes, Tathagata Gava. Okay. So why do you, why do we use the Tathagata Gava? What is the Buddhist attitude? You understand this thing? You always question, somebody created this one, or this one comes from this somebody. This is very dualistic, alright? This is very philosophical. So if you research something you never understand, believe this way. Because that is your discriminating mind researching. No, you don't understand. But you should pay careful attention to something more than that. Believe? What you have to pay attention to. No, that is another subject. But I am talking about what, in order to understand the human world
in the relation between the samsara and truth, what kind of attitude you should take towards human life? You should investigate how. I told you.
This is the manifestation of the Tathagatagarbha in the life.
But from where Tathagatagarbha comes up? How? Why Tathagatagarbha comes up? Tathagatagarbha consciousness is created through the Buddhist attitude toward human life, which is quite different from usual philosophy. Okay. You understand? I told you anyway a few minutes ago. No. Yes, yes, it is practically that too. But yes, that's pre-cross. Yes, yes, that's true.
You should just do it. Just do it.
Well, that is a prop, actual prop. You have to do it.
See, everything in the daily life is free.
Yeah. What is that? How can you, from where? How can you see this? No, not how. Where is it? You know, the absolute covered where the delusion is where? Yesterday? Tomorrow? Right here. Right here means what? I said, do you understand this? Do you understand what I mean? The reality of it is. Do you understand this one? Reality. If you want to know who you are in the relation with the truth, do you want to research from the, do you want to research the process? How you come from the truth. This is intellectual, okay? In other words, I am Karagi. If you want to investigate, you have to research maybe from where Karagiri comes. You know, so very naturally you want to research my parents, ancestors, and ancestors again and again. So you have to trace back to my ancestors. And then you believe, yes, Karagiri comes from Karagiri's ancestors. Something like that. But do you believe it hits to understanding of Karagiri, who is alive now? That is total understanding of Karagiri, who is this, who is alive now. Of course it is a hit and it is a part of understanding of Karagiri, but it's not total. So how do you research? This year is wrong there, and then this one, you have to accept this one as it is, as he is. In reality, before you investigate, analyze, from where wrong comes, what kind of character he has, that is a later. That question comes up later. Do you understand? Because unconsciously or consciously, you accept the wrong as he is.
I don't understand then why we concern ourselves with the whole question of truth. Of truth, you know, like of looking for truth. In other words, if I, you know, relate to God as he did, I have to understand that the, you know, culmination of letting be done.
Because if you there is a quite different situation comes up according to whether you realize the truth or not. even though truth is always with us. Okay? If you don't realize, let's see the two persons. This person realize the truth. This person don't realize. Realize means a get taste of. Understanding, philosophical understanding later comes out later. After, you know, after you can accept, you can digest, and truth, and realization means to digest, you know, understand the idea of the truth. Philosophical, psychological, and then it becomes energy. And that time it is called realize. Okay. You understand? That is a realization.
Things like that as original is concrete.
Yes, concrete.
And that I'm hearing what you're saying is that the Dalma.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So when we talk about truth, that still is not concrete. It's still possible. Yes.
The other principle, that is the absolute itself. It is a principle. So far from us. So that is a very metaphysical and philosophical. You understand? But
so is that why you
want
to use the word concept?
Yes. That absolute doesn't create something in the samsaric world because it is unborn in fish. But that the absolute is something omnipresent. You understand? Omnipresent means everywhere. So that's what we can see that truth. Okay? That truth is not absolute. It's very concrete. You understand? That's why it is called Katarata Garbha. Right?
In Christianity, there was a whole death of God movement, and more of a John Kierkegaard and people like that talking about God as the ground of all being.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same as the notion of
Kapha Sagalva? Yes, good. But I don't know exactly the traditional idea of God in the Christianity. So, but Buddhism is not the investigator analyzing the truth itself.
Yeah. Right. I think of that as
life or
reality.
Yes. Because our life is completely embraced by the truth. So, totally accept. And then if you totally accept, you have to look at yourself as in reality as it is, exactly. So that is first step to know. Okay?
I'm just trying to say that right now I'm thinking that the manifestation in the concrete world, like, for example, patterns like flowers, water, the wood pattern, and that is this Kapha-Dagarbha.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not, that is the absolute truth manifesting in the concrete world.
Yes. That is called Kapha-Dagarbha. But it is, absolute truth is manifested in the concrete aspect. Concrete aspect means, in this case, veiled with delusion, he says. Delusion means discriminating mind.
So, in a way, one should try and go beyond those patterns.
Sure, if you find the truth in your life, manifested in various aspects, and then you should find the truth, but you should go beyond. Because real absolute is go beyond that truth you find, you have found in the
it's difficult to explain, that's why we use words simply, that is the truth, the cause, or one mind, one word, simple word. But it is, if you understand the truth expressed in words simply, simplest as you can, at that time it is still limited. Okay? So that's why that through the using the word in order to explain the actual truth, then you should go beyond truth in words.
Is that why they say the spiritual source shines clearly in the mind?
No, that's true.
To target a Garbha is really the kind of a skillful means, just a, like a, it seems to be that, it's sort of a skillful means for us to
maybe so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it also is covered with delusions, the type of the Garbha.
Because?
Well, it's a word.
And that's why you should understand what, why. Because?
There's always a gap between the God's world and the
truth. Oh, no, I don't think so. You should listen carefully. That is the God's word. I said, deluded. Covered with the delusion, okay? The Dhammatagama is the truth covered with delusion, right? But that delusion means what? What do you mean delusion?
What?
Discriminating mind. Okay? Delusion is called discriminating mind. Why do you call discriminating mind delusion? Why? Why? After you, what does the discriminating mind? Separate. If you separate the subject and object, if you dichotomize the world into two, subject and the object, and then do you believe you can live in peace? Strictly speaking, it's pretty hard anyway.
So I can try.
That's why we need a process anyway. Because constant discrimination is going where you can't create a peaceful and harmonious life, but nevertheless, right in the middle of that discriminating world, we have to create a peaceful right. Because we want. Even though you don't want, there is a truth. So very naturally, truth will take you to peaceful world. Anyway, see this world. So very naturally, you bump your head against the big pole sooner or later. So, the Dhammatagava is the truth covered with the delusion. So do you mean, why? Why do we call delusion? concretely speaking, what kind of the truth? How do you find? Where is it? Yeah, personal. Personal means personal. If you see the truth in the personal life, that truth is your truth. Please, personal. If the truth is personal, it is not universal. So that is the limits of understanding of the truth, all right? But usually we always believe the truth you have understood or you have experienced, all right? You understand? That's where we create the troubles always. Because if there are 10 people who say 10 people understand a different way, not same at all. So they naturally 10 different kinds of a universe and truth comes up and they fight.
What is that? The Buddhist attitude towards life created at the time of the birth. Did you mean that the Buddhist attitude towards life created the concept of the society?
No, not create. It's the Dalai Lama is coming, they naturally come to into existence from the attitude towards human life, okay, in a Buddhistic way. Very naturally, because Buddhistic eye is always focused on persons or things in reality as it is, instead of researching the process, how to create it, from where it comes and like that. Do you understand? So always focus on this, one person or one thing in reality as it is. If so, what kind of, how many things can be found in this one thing, one person? Can you judge this or that or person exactly according to the one-sided idea, so-called truth, pure or not pure? Thank you.
You can't.
So even though you can judge, even though you can judge, hey, Karate is good boy, but I don't think it's good boy. On the other hand, you cannot say either he is bad boy, because this is a panorama picture of reality, the panorama picture of the person or thing in reality as it is. You understand that one? If you see the person or thing in reality as it is, very naturally you can see. Okay? Why there are two things always interacting with itself, you know? But this is because this is always samsaric world. Samsaric world always, the two things there. Good or bad, self-confidence or not self-confidence, itself. Okay? But you can always try to take care of your life with always self-confidence. Okay? Because if you really want to have your life with self-confidence always, you should find easy conditions, a little bit easier circumstances you can get to the self-confidence. But the circumstances is always moving and changing in the favorable condition or unfavorable conditions always. Nevertheless, wherever you may be, under unfavorable conditions, you have to learn the self-confidence, which you have to stand up straight here. That is called samsaric world. That's why you have to learn both. Self-confidence and difficult to get the self-confidence. You have to learn the box. Both are important, but usually we believe only self-confidence is important. Right? If you don't have a self-confidence, it's bad. You understand? That means you destroy the samsara. You understand? Samsara is always self-confidence, simultaneously not self-confidence. That is the samsara. But this samsara world is grounded on Tathagata Gautama, means the truth. That's why self-confidence or not self-confidence both are important. That's why through not self-confidence you can learn how important self-confidence is for you. So under all circumstances, we have to learn how to stand up straight with self-confidence. You understand now? That is Tathagata Gautama, anyway. The Tathagata Gautama is not only ideas, but also its creative meaning. Practically you should do it. Because in the samsara, the human beings always have a one-sided idea. That's why Buddha also always gave piece of advice for us. Don't be stuck in one-sided ideas. So we have to learn both. Is that okay?
Truth is manifesting itself in the phenomenal world. Then it seems to me that the phenomenal world is resting on truth. That somehow truth is naturally the way the phenomenal world is
Look at
that. That if truth were taken away, that the samsaric world would collapse.
Truth in samsara rests in the truth?
Well, that the samsaric world is resting on the truth.
I don't think this is. In the world, it's pretty difficult to say. That's why next I have to explain of peace. In this book, it says after truth and samsaric world diffuses harmony with each other. This is I have to explain still more. Okay, it's not that. The samsara is a top and absolutely bottom. I don't think so. Okay? Is that all right? That means the one piece of paper with the two aspects. It's moving constantly, all right? So you cannot say what is top, what is bottom. So on the practical speaking, if you put the grass and the sunglass and the blue sunglass, whole world becomes sunglass in the blue. Next moment, when you change the sunglass and the browns, and immediately whole world becomes brown. That's it. All right. So when your attitude, where do you stand up? Okay?
when you stand up, and when you stand up in the samsara, whole world becomes samsara. When you stand up in the absolute, and then looking at the human world, whole world becomes absolute. In other words, if you are angry, if you are mad at the somebody, the whole world is mad. If you see the human world with a disoriented mind, whole world is disoriented. Okay? You understand? That is so-called peace. Peace and harmony coming in, interacting together. Interacting. It's not, you cannot say which is top, which is bottom. When you show the front, that's it. Forward front. Right? When you show the back, forward back. That is Tobin Vincent's when one side is up here, the other side is down. So next time I can explain a little more about it. Okay.